Good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning.
Hello, Leslie. Good morning.
Hey.
Hello, Stanley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Good to be with you.
Sorry, I won't be here long this morning, but I'll do my best.
What time do you have to leave?
20? I should probably... my students are coming at 9:15 to jump in a van, so I should probably leave about 9:12 or something like that so I can pull the vans around.
Sure. Whatever works best for you.
Okay.
I had an email from John Pugh, and he doesn't have the link.
Yes, he does now.
Okay, good.
Good morning, Cassie. Good morning, Laura. Good morning, Joel.
Morning, Ken.
So I've got to show you guys what's outside my hotel window, okay?
Because those are skinny enough for...
Oh, my God. How much have you won so far?
Right outside my window. Oh, my God.
We all should have that view.
Yeah, well, Trump, yeah.
Let's see. There's Destiny. Good morning, Destiny.
Morning.
We're missing Steph so far. So let's get underway. And I'd like to call the meeting to order and note that there is a quorum. Welcome, everybody. And Laura has agreed to read for us the land acknowledgement.
Okay. May I ask to begin with? I don't know. I have one up, but I'm not sure if it's the latest that I'm to read. You had sent a copy with some purple additions. Is that the latest?
Yes.
Is approved and everything? Okay. We acknowledge and honor the Aboriginal people on whose ancestral homelands we work, the Iqaluitam Band of the Shasta Nation, as well as the diverse and vibrant Native communities who make their home here today. We denounce the egregious acts of the colonizers and governments and recognize the horrific impacts that still exist today. We honor the first stewards in the Rogue Valley and the lands we live and depend on. Tribes with ancestral lands in and surrounding the geography of the Ashland watershed include the original, past, present, and future Indigenous inhabitants of the Shasta, Takelma, Athabascan people. We also recognize and acknowledge the Shasta village of Kwakaha, where the Crow lights, and that is now the Ashland City Plaza.
Thank you very much, Laura. Next is the approval of the minutes, but we did not have a quorum, so there are no minutes for the September meeting. Johanna, did you want to make any comments about notes we might have created?
Well, I think we can go ahead and approve the August minute since we didn't get to do it at the...
Ah, sorry. Okay. Can anybody remember the month of August? Seems like 100 years ago. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from August?
I did notice a couple things that I had noted for our meeting last month that were edits for the minutes.
Okay.
One of them was that it said absent members was Jennifer Longshore, but she's no longer a member.
Right.
And then another one, and this may be minor, was just that I had been the commissioner who had spoken to the Presbyterian Church, who had expressed interest, not myself and Laura. And that was, I believe, under the section Haynes and Friends grant application proposal. Just for clarification that I had been the person. I think Laura had not talked directly to the church, but I had.
All right. With those corrections, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second. All in favor? Raise your hand. Thank you very much. The minutes of August 2022 are approved. Johanna, are there members of the public that wish to speak in a public forum?
Peter, if you want to speak, will you raise your hand? Or John, but I know we'll hear from him later.
They're on the agenda.
Yeah. looks good. So let's keep it moving.
All right. Well, let's then move to the liaison reports. And since Steph is not here for the city council, I'd like to introduce for anyone who hasn't met her, Leslie Embridge. Leslie is a professor of environmental science and policy at SOU. She earned her Bachelor in Cultural and Social Anthropology from Stanford and has a Master's in Environmental Science and Management from UC Santa Barbara. She worked for NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Alaska, as a captain, diver, safety swimmer, and firefighter on the hydrographic survey NOAA ship Rainier. Really impressive.
I didn't know you were going to read this whole thing, but
I'm just summarizing it. But we want to get to know you, and in turn, you'll get to know us when there's a little more time. Leslie grew up in New York. Dad was a Shakespearean actor. And
Scholar, not actor.
Yes. She grew up on classical music, ballet, art museums, and opera, and studied classical flute, opera voice, and theater, and has a deep and abiding love for the arts, which has expanded since her youth. So I'm delighted to welcome you on behalf of the other commissioners, Leslie, and we look forward to your participation with us. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Excited to meet you all. Some names look familiar, but I don't know that I've actually met anyone here in any capacity. So, and I'm excited to, I've been very in the world of natural resource management for probably the last 20 years of my life. So this is an exciting sort of return back to my first love.
Well, terrific, terrific. Does your screen allow you to see the names of each person?
I can.
All right. Well, let me then welcome you. And Johanna, did you have a liaison report for us?
Not too much to report. Mike Morrison of Public Works did send an email over saying the medallions are still a work in progress. Some short staffing issues have been continuing the delay, but he says, you know, they're still working on it and it's going to happen one day. So that's all I have.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to introduce as well Brandon Goldman, who is the newly acting director of community development. And Brandon, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I can. Brandon Goldman here, planning manager as well. So work on most current development that occurs in Ashland and long-range planning for a number of years. I've been with the city for 24 years. And in that capacity, I've had interfaces with the Public Arts Commission, both on a personal level and professional level over that period of time. So very much appreciate the work that this commission has done to beautify the city of Ashland in so many ways. And on a personal note, I was the prior president of the Ashland Community Arts Center, so also have worked on that board up until its unfortunate dissolution through the COVID crisis. And I know that this commission and that organization both worked collaboratively on a number of projects. So it's good to be back before you. It's a lot of new faces for me. Prior incarnations of the Public Arts Commission, I knew most members, but I'm glad to be here and meet you, not in person, but virtually today. So thanks for inviting me.
All right. I'd like to introduce a motion as a resolution in appreciation for the work of Bill Molnar. Bill preceded Brandon and retired. He did resign as well. I believe it was on September 30th from the city after many, many years and two stints in public service. And entertain the following motion. Whereas Mr. Bill Molnar began his planned retirement from his position as Director of Planning for the City of Ashland, including oversight for the Public Arts Commission for many years. Whereas Bill has provided a great public service as he carried out these duties with professionalism, wisdom, and insight while maintaining the common touch. Be it resolved, the Public Arts Commission expresses appreciation and admiration for these years of service and support. And further, the Public Arts Commission extends its best wishes and thanks to Bill Molnar in his retirement years. There is a motion. Someone would like to move that motion. I see yeses, but I need somebody to say so.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second? Second. And 2 seconds. All in favor? Please raise your hand. Great. Thank you so much.
Can I ask a quick question? Am I a voting member of this body, or am I a liaison? Just a quick curiosity.
You're a liaison.
Okay.
Ex officio, I suppose, would be the proper word. Bill, would you like, or Brandon, would you like to comment briefly on the quick reference to restrictions on political campaigning since we're in the campaign season?
Yeah, sure. So all commissions fall under state law, fall under the same requirements of any public official or public employee. So during a campaign season, a lot of times those lines can get crossed, whereas a public employee, I'm able to voice my political opinions outside my capacity as a city employee, but I can't do so in a public meeting like this. I can't do so if somebody calls me on my office phone and has questions about what measure to vote for or what candidate. Those are all verboten. So as commissioners, you may be approached by people out in the community about your opinions about a particular measure. As an individual, there's no prohibition of you expressing your opinions. But to be clear, you can't do so as a member of the Public Arts Commission. I feel that this candidate would be superior to another. So that would be an ethical breach in terms of your roles and responsibilities as a public official. There are different rules for elected officials than there are for appointed and city employees like us. And so I would just caution you, we do have materials that I don't know if you received them in your prior packet that are from the state, which provide good guidance in terms of what you can and can't do, what you can't direct staff to do in terms of drafting literature or opinion pieces. So for the most part, I think it does come up with commissions that I've been involved with in the past when individuals on a commission are running for political office. That's not the case in this group. So, but I just wanted to appreciate the opportunity to bring that up as something to be cautious about. Essentially, you have two hats. You have your personal hat, you have your public official hat. And whenever you're wearing the public official commissioner hat, just don't engage in that political arena.
Thank you very much. Brandon did give me a handout, and this is from the state, a quick reference. And just to underscore the point, a public employee includes public officials who are not elected, whether they are paid or unpaid, including appointed boards and commissions. So in that sense, we are all one. Thank you very much, Brandon.
Yeah, but I do want to stress that it doesn't prohibit you from putting lawn signs in your yard. That's your home. That's your personal opinion, and you're not prohibited from exercising that.
I think that's very clear. I wanted to just briefly comment. It was my pleasure to represent the work of the commission to the City Council in the required annual report. That was on October 4, and I want to say in that capacity, Johanna was very, very instrumental in making that look good and play good. She helped me with all of the slides. Yay. Yes, right. And in that connection also, I think I sent each of you the outline, which Johanna did. So if you had any questions, let us know. Let's see what is next here. I believe we're at the place where we'd like to invite Peter Finkel to talk about a plaque for the work nourishing our community. And Johanna, I see you searching. There's Peter. Welcome, Peter. You're muted.
Now I am unmuted. Hello, hello.
Good morning.
Here.
And oh, here I am. Okay. So I just want to I'm really happy that Ken had the idea to after I pointed out that there was not a plaque on the Nourishing Our Community artwork, which is the one at the corner of Lithia Way and Pioneer, the rocks, to see if we could get a new plaque made, since we're kind of on a roll with Joel and others in the plaque world. So I came up with three ideas based upon the three suggestions for text based upon the article that I wrote and researched about the Nourishing Our Community and who donated it and what the meaning of the, you know, it's just stones, but as the person who gave the money and the artist and actually the Public Arts Commission as well, when they did the call for artists, the focus was on community. And, you know, that is built into the artwork, the word community. So I'm just here in case anyone has questions about any of the three texts or suggestions for you know, how you want to handle it from here.
Thank you, Peter. As I think all of you read in your packets, there are three proposed sets of words that would, the intention would be on a plaque following the same design and materials that were used with Golden Connections. So it's the laser cut. Oh, there we go. And thank you, Johanna. And so this is the proposed wording, and what I'd like is your expression of which one you would like to see on the plaque. There is the first one, very short, as it says, 78 words. Second one, Nourishing Our Community, 76 words. Wow. And let's see, what are the other ones? So it goes from 48 to 78. Let me ask, by show of hands, how many people would be encouraged to select number one? Joel, you like number one. And how about number two?
Back up there, Ken. Could you put them back up?
Sure. It's Johanna that does that beautiful work.
Oh, thank you.
There we go. So we could read them. First is, the sculpture was a gift from Everett McGee to honor the McGee and Neal families who nourished and helped sustain this community during the 20th century, both literally, all three owned grocery stores, and figuratively through their lifelong service to the community. And the second one, the sculpture was a gift from Everett McGee to honor the McGee and Neal families who nourished and helped sustain the community during the 20th century, both literally, all three owned grocery stores, and figuratively through their lifelong service to the community. James McGee came in 1905, served on city council and school board. His son Everett co-owned three grocery stores in town. Dick Neal was Ashland mayor for 16 years. And finally, The third one, the sculpture was a gift from Everett McGee to honor the memory of three active Ashland leaders during the 20th century, James McGee, Everett McGee, and Dick Neal. All three nourished Ashland residents with their grocery stores. Among the three, they served on city council, school board, many fraternal groups, and one was mayor for 16 years. They were strong early supporters of Ashland Community Hospital and Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So let's start it. Who would like to see number one be on the plaque? Please raise your hand.
Can I ask a question first?
Sure, sure.
Are you all open to some edits? Or are this language, the options fixed in stone, so to speak, no pun intended?
Yes, we're open to edits. My suggestion is we focus on one and then edit that.
So okay, understood.
Which one that would be. All in favor of one have expressed no interest. Number two. Okay, we have two. And Leslie, you don't get to vote. You can make edits for sure. And number three, who would like number three? One, two, so let's see. Laura, did you vote?
You number two.
Okay, so we have a tie, 2-2, it looks like. And I think we lost Destiny, is that right?
I can be swayed for number three if we made an edit.
What would your edit be, Destiny?
I didn't say edit, that was Laura talking. Oh. I'm here, I voted for one.
Okay. So, Laura, I'm sorry, what would your edit be?
I loathe the quotes. So, nourished, I would take out those quotes. We all get the pun.
Okay. No quotes. And that would give us three for that particular one. Did anyone left?
With number two, I don't think we necessarily should name the mayor, because we're honoring a larger group of people. Why put the spotlight on him?
Okay.
That's why I like number three. So,
sorry, say your last sentence again. What was that?
That's why I like number three, is it kept them as a group, as a generic group, and didn't point out that one guy was mayor.
It just says one was mayor and number three, right? Right, okay. So that looks like the consensus. Leslie, did you have an editorial comment for number three?
I just can't find these quotes in the one packet that was sent to me. I don't think I ever got these, so it's hard for me to provide edits without looking at it. So I don't know if I received these three. But
yeah, Johanna, I was just going to ask, we put it back up on the screen and it's a quick read.
Have the suggested edits been made on there yet, or we're just speaking them?
No, we are looking at number three. I think that's the consensus.
Yeah, I haven't made any edits to the PDF, but I will after the meeting. And I can send out an edited copy once everyone...
Could you page down and show that second slide that has the images?
Yes.
There we go. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, it's clear to everybody. And then in addition, right here where this little orange or reddish orange rectangle, double rectangle, that would be a stone to hold the plaque right at that spot. And the working plan is that the stone would have a hole in it for a steel rebar, and there'd be a hole in the cement and the steel rebar would go in that, and stone would sit on top of it, and we'd put a little crazy glue underneath it.
Can we see the language one more time?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Everybody have a chance to reread that and comfortable with it? And if so, I would like to entertain a motion that we select this wording in the third option.
Ken, I have one comment. I think that we just, in Ashland, we tend to slap Shakespeare Festival onto everything. And I am I don't see the relevance of the Shakespeare Festival thing.
Okay, let's see. Where is that?
It's just in it's where every left. Single thing is always about the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, and I don't know. I vote that I don't see what that has to do with anything.
And would that be also applicable to the community hospital?
I don't hear a lot about community hospitals in Ashland, so I'm fine with that one. But the Oregon Shakespeare Festival just gets slapped onto everything.
Okay. Does anyone else share that concern?
I would suggest either deleting the whole last sentence or keeping it as is.
I think that's why I was a fan of number two, is because that whole sentence isn't there.
Although Dick was the mayor, as Stanley. Okay. Struggling forward to get a consensus here. What if we...
Ken, we'll get this sign made in 2024. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
We'll come to a consensus sometime in next year. Yeah,
right. All right. I'd like to follow up on that suggestion that we use number three, but delete the last sentence.
Just a quick question. So it's a little confusing because it says the sculpture was a gift from Everett McGee to honor is himself and two other people, or is it a different generation? Is it a senior, junior?
Everett is the senior, and he's honoring James Everett himself and Dick Neal.
Okay, it is. Okay, it is the same self person. Okay.
Right. So if you want to put up a plaque on your behalf, make a proposal. So is there agreement to use number three without the last sentence? All in favor of that, please raise your hand. One, two, three,
yes.
Four. Okay, that is the one that passes. And Peter, are you good with that?
How about... Laura's suggestion to remove the quotes on the word nourished.
Oh, all right.
Oh, thanks, Peter. Yeah.
She did say she loathes them, so I think we should take that very seriously.
Well, it's a play on the fact they own grocery stores, so...
We get that, though.
In some ways, the quote is justified there because it's referring to the fact that they own grocery stores, although... In this one, it doesn't really sit. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, okay.
So is there, let me see how many people would take out the quotes. Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. So we're going to delete the quotes.
Thank you.
Although, do folks like the both literally and figuratively from the top? I think you can take out the quotes and say that. I like it, but maybe I'm the only one.
Wait, you're okay, yeah.
I like the words, all three nourished Ashland residents, both literally and figuratively.
Well, that would be in substitution of the quotes. Yeah.
If you got rid of the quotes, then literally and figuratively works just fine.
That would be appropriate, sure.
All right, so if we take out the quotes and say nourished literally and figuratively.
Right.
Have we hammered it out? All right, with that set of changes, all in favor of a motion to accept number three without quote and adding the words literally and figuratively and deleting the last sentence, please say aye. Raise your hand, say aye.
Can we get a motion with a first and a second?
Is there such a motion? Stanley moves. Who's?
A second.
All right. All in favor, please say aye. Thank you, Laura. I know I asked for about 10 votes there. Thank you, Johanna. Sorry. All right. I think we have it. At this point, we would like to have a motion to ask Joel to design this in the same fashion that we did with the Golden Connections as a model and moved to get a quote from that company. Could I have a motion to that effect? Is there a so moved? Stanley, moved. And a second? Cassie seconds. All in favor, please say aye. Raise your hand. Great. That passes. All right. Thank you.
So wait, real quick, Ken, will somebody send me the edited text, and then I'll get that ball rolling. Thank you, Johanna.
And there's a cat joining us.
Sorry.
No problem. It is entertaining. Peter, was that satisfactory for you, from your point of view? I see you're muted again.
Yes, that's great. That sentence would now read, all three nourished Ashland residents, both literally and figuratively, with their grocery stores.
Yes. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everyone, for your good work. I'd like to next move to John Pugh and promote John and ask Stanley if he would be good enough to do an introduction for John Pugh and his work. And can we see John on the screen?
I will do it.
There he is. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Well,
thank you so much for being here in the middle of your night.
You have to embarrass me.
Not at all. John works at night, so this is early.
I get more creative at night, so I have to kind of honor that. So
yeah,
I'm in the middle of my sleep cycle, but that's okay.
So I think everybody's aware that John is has been working on a potential project for a really large mural that's right over the Chase Bank on the side of the Elks Club. And John has is an internationally known muralist. His murals are all over the world, and they're quite incredible. And I think that it's an extraordinary opportunity for us here in Ashland to be able to land one of his murals on a building. And I think our purpose here is just to look at a short presentation John's going to give. And then I think our goal is to recommend this project. John's not asking us for money. I think fundraising is going to be a big challenge for this, but I think that it's a worthwhile project. And so why don't you take it away, John, and then we'll chime in afterwards.
All right.
Stanley and John, just before you do that, the idea is that this fundraising would take place outside of the city, and it will be a gift to the city. And if we endorse it, it will come in as a gift. I think that's clear. Thank you so much, Stanley, and go for it, John.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ken and Stanley and Johanna. I guess maybe we should just go to the visuals, if you don't mind. But good morning, and thank you for having me here today. And I think a lot of you have already seen some of the sketches. There's definitely been some developments that I think are refinements to in a very positive direction. I think I'm kind of finding my way with the story of Ashland, especially the plaza or the place where the crow lights. And originally, I'll go through a couple slides here, but the main thing is I kind of switched to go back toward just the single dome because I just felt like it was a simpler, more dynamic read for the passerby. And it kind of creates this more simplified but dynamic kind of iconic vision of the first Chautauqua Dome. Basically, there's a little of an amalgamation going on here. Why don't we go ahead and go to the second slide or second image. And one of the things I've added here is the crows, because I think that that's a really important element, basically because of the name, the Where the Crow Lights, and honoring, like we did with the Atlantic acknowledgments at the beginning, to really not just have an inclusion of the Native American and the idea that this was a Shasta village, but the put them in the forefront and along with this egg that eventually led to the Shakespeare Festival. Why don't we go ahead and move to the third slide? So this was the original thing I was working with, and I kind of wanted to show these, like almost like Russian dolls. You got these this egg thing happening with the first Chautauqua Dome was on the inside there with the blue shell, and the second, well, or third even version of the Chautauqua Dome is surrounding that. And I mean, it's kind of a fun, you know, layers of eggs hatching to kind of create the Shakespeare thing. But I just think it's too much, and I think it's too complicated for a read. So I've moved back to the idea of just having, we can go to the next slide if you want to, the original dome. Another thing, this is a model that I've created in the studio, very simple, elegant shadow. There'll be a skylight inside. In this particular model, I've got the, that's another development. The pilot rock image would serve as a decorative mosaic on the side. There's just a couple things about Ashland that are contained into this piece. I decided to go back toward, I mean, we can go ahead and go to the next slide, go back toward using Mott McLaughlin. It just seems to be a more dynamic image. And the pilot rock is a little bit harder of a read. I'm very open to these the surrounding things and the flavors, but I've just been looking at this a lot and trying to develop this symphony so it plays well. Another thing that I've done since the original thing is added more lights. You can see that there's more spotlights, because I really want to suggest the idea that this is a giant set, and we're telling the story of Ashland in a very Ashland way. Because it is such a theatrical town with Shakespeare and so forth. So I think that helps tell the stories. It also kind of helps tell the story of why those windows in the background are lit up and creating, I'll go to that now. So I'm trying to create this buzz that this set that's inside, this magical place almost, or spiritual place, or the original idea was this place of enchantment. And that part of the beginning of Lithia Park, when I think of Ashland and I think about Lithia Park, I feel this almost Maxfield Parrish quality of enchantment. But I think it was really, really important for me to bring in, again, the Telkalma or Shasta person to replace, and I'll talk about that later, replace the more of a white Maxfield Parrish person in the front. Again, I've included this small murder of crows on the top and added the shadow. Is there anything else I need to talk about this?
Tree branch.
You know, go ahead.
Tree branch. Did you say,
well, we could just move forward here. So, did you say something? I'm sorry, Ken. What did you say?
The tree branch.
Tree branch through the dome. You were talking about that.
Oh, earlier. Yeah. There'll be. That was one more thing is. I'll include on one of the pictures that are coming up here. So, and then the idea of this big dome, I just wanted to cite an example of a past work that's similar to the presence of this piece. This has a very architectural monument kind of flavor to it that I thought was a real strong way of presenting Queen Liliuokalani and this mural in Hawaii. It's kind of an honor of her and celebrating her life. We can go ahead and move to the next slide. I love citing this as an example too of this iconic architectural anomaly almost that is I think is compelling, and it creates a kind of this awe-inspiring element. This space, this wall is big enough to have this kind of quality. And I want to point out one thing too about this. This is a building in Dubai. That inside, and I've been inside this building too, inside is this giant tree, and you can't really see it in this picture, but that is another element that goes, what is going on with this thing? And why is there a tree in there? And it just, it really prompts investigation, if not just a visual investigation to what the deal is here. Let's go ahead and go to the next image. This is also including another element too that I at first was a little wary of, but after I started playing with it, I really think this is a nice, it's not too heavy, it's not too distracting, and it's a nice touch that from this natural time that has passed by, this growth has happened, where the this tree, almost kind of symbolic tree of life from the plaza there, grows up through the windows and kind of breaks through. And I think it's kind of a nice, subtle suggestion of this space that's been there for centuries of the indigenous people living in a village there, coming back to this integration with nature, this gentle nudge from almost like a redemption from colonization. It kind of fits in with the land acknowledgments that were there's a harmony here. It's not just a revolt, but a harmony of new and old. And it does, I think, add a certain kinetic layer to the piece to even create a little more intrigue. So I play with a couple other things in there too, like people working on the Chautauqua Dome, and that was just very distracting. But I do like this mix of the crows and the tree breaking through. Okay, why don't we go ahead? This full circle of nature. And nothing here so far has said Shakespeare. It's all kind of an innuendo to the development. That's the next step from the dome and getting into this pre-Raphaelite vibe. So again, the idea of instead of having this lovely white Caucasian woman being the center of things, and I'm still trying to work this out. Ken and I have approached a few people to try to find this lovely youth that's either Telkalma or a Shasta to replace the Maxfield Parrish. I do like the idea of that we go ahead and go to the next image or two of this lovely setting, this Lithia Park, and the lighting and the dreaminess and the enchantment of not just Lithia Park, but Ashland in general. Go ahead and go to the next slide too. This piece is called Enchantment, and that was some of my original flavor that I wanted to bring into this piece that kind of identifies for me what my feeling about Ashland is and some of my earliest memories of Ashland. But we can go back to the next slide too. The idea of not just including the indigenous people, but putting them front and center with that same flavor, but honoring the centuries of this beautiful story, a lovely story about a Telkalma youth replacing the Maxfield space, Maxfield Parrish's thing, and then have a respect to the inhabitants. In a way, it's making a land acknowledgement right there to bring them back into. So let's go ahead and go to the next. This is the final image. Some of the other things that I played with. So you saw the one where I was doing the double dome thing, and it had the layers. Here we're basically using the original Chautauqua Dome with a little amalgamation going on, but it makes it so much more visually simplified and dynamic without getting convoluted, because it's already saying why is that in there, but it's certainly a piece that can be taken in one glance, and I think suggest an exploration of what is this stuff, and wow, that's pretty trippy. and you've got the four stags, you got the crows, there'll be a couple other symbolic animal or spirit animal type inhabitants, but this lovely pre-Raphaelite, almost Shakespearean setting going on that I think really does tell the story of Ashland, and it's not the intense blue that the earlier things were. This is all stuff that promotes more of a depth of field. The darker tree with the lighter background suggesting that there's kind of a set thing going on inside there that I think is more effective now. So again, these refinements may seem subtle, but I really feel like this piece, for me at least, is resonating more as a strong piece that I would be very proud to include with the public art collection. So I'm open for that's my my stick, but I'm open for any kind of questions and expansions.
Thank you so much. Thanks very much, John.
Thank you.
Sure.
Stanley, would you like to make any comments? Since you were the point person for this.
I would like to make a motion that the Arts Commission endorse this project, make it official that we're behind it.
Let's have any other comment. Oh, sorry, Laura. Sorry.
Go ahead. Comment.
I was going to ask if there was, just before we move to that, are there questions or comments for John?
I have a question. Thank you, John. That was a lovely presentation. I really like the evolution of your artwork. That was very cool. I was just curious, you mentioned that you were looking for a young person of Indigenous heritage, and I was just curious if you've had any discussions with Indigenous locals just to bring in that kind of the juiciness of their experience here in the community and, you know, if there was exploration there.
Well, I'm starting to embark on that. And I certainly met a few people at the dedication of the canoe otter. I forgot.
Otter lifter.
Yeah. I've also broached this with Ken and who was the instructor at high school?
Shane.
Abrams.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm embarking on that, but I'm very early on that journey to, you know, find the right person that would honor them, but also kind of also parallel the Maxfield Parrish flavor of enchantment. Because I definitely want that reference to kind of be there in a subtle way. So.
Yeah, and it's
working on it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And just also to get the take of as an Indigenous local person as they approach the mural. I know every person's going to be different, but in, you know, just that check in about like how is what your art affecting those in town who are of Indigenous heritage would be my guess by question, and just kind of putting your that question out there to some of the local folks who grew up here who are of Indigenous heritage.
Yeah, I'm very open to that and looking at subtle things. I mean, to me, this piece does honor, I mean, a title for this mural could be Where the Crow Lights, I think, because there's some suggestions there already for that. And if there is something, I think there's room for subtle evolutions of things that would be identified as, you know, being in touch with the Indigenous population and the history. So yeah. There's definitely room for growth.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you.
Cassie, let me just take on that briefly. So in reaching out to Shane, his response was he would like to talk with tribal elders and get their ideas. And with that effort, John has made very clear that he will be the person who selects that model. Stanley.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw an idea out. If you've considered a historic figure like Grandma Aggie, maybe to be the person in there, that might be something you know, consider.
I had the same thought, Stanley, and I wasn't at the entire dedication. We had a loss in the family, so I was there for a moment. But the time I was there, Grandma Aggie's daughter, granddaughter, and great-granddaughter all got up and presented. And I had the exact same thought, but my thought was maybe it's Grandma Aggie's great-granddaughter, if she's interested, if that feels appropriate. But that was I was thinking the same, maybe, you know, approaching that family and saying, would you be willing to take a look at this and let me know how it resonates with you? And yeah, lovely.
And I would certainly be very sensitive and open to that too. So I got two things going here is the energy of the Maxfield Parrish thing and then this over here. So hopefully there's this perfect, you know, thing that functions both ways. So.
To that point, we'll ask Shane to make that introduction and explore that possibility, if I could suggest that.
I have a question. I mean, I'm just wondering about something completely less political.
How do you see it as political?
Well, pretty much all the art pieces we've done, I don't know, last year and a half or so have been extremely politically motivated or charged. And I'm wondering about something that just kind of is less so, especially with so much visibility. I love the presentation. I love where everything is going, but I'm just wondering about the implications. I mean, based on the political climate of John's being a white man doing this kind of thing in Ashland. I mean, I'm sure you come up against that all the time, but it's just going to be a landmine all the way. And I think, I don't know how anyone else feels about that, but I'm just floating the idea to take that into consideration. I know it's heavy, but I just wonder about that. So,
any comments, John first and Stanley?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that this wasn't meant to be political in any way or form. I was looking at the plaza and the history of the plaza. And I certainly didn't want to not include the Native Americans because that's part of the history here, but it's just laying out history. It wasn't meant to say we're assholes for, you know, colonizing and stuff like that. It's not meant to be charged. It was, and maybe the tree thing is a gentle nut.
Stanley.
I think that Joel raises a good point. But I do think this particular mural is more about historic context than anything overtly political. However, in some ways these days, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because John is a white man and he will probably be accused of appropriation if he is using Native American imagery in his artwork. Even though his vision and his intent is really clear to honor those people, there he's probably going to get some flack for that. But I think that's just the way it is. You know?
Any other comments on those two questions?
Yeah,
Destiny.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with what Joel is trying to like bring forth. I think like just the nature of it, whether that was the intention or not the intention, like it is going to just cause feelings. And so I think as long as like we can do as much around that to prepare for it. So John, I really liked your suggestion about speaking with some of the local tribe members and just being able to really tie like any information that you're able to obtain into the work, and then also being able to just share that there was work done outside of just the artwork itself to really honor the historical piece. I think that'll be good. Like I just know personally from going to Golden Connections and taking people there, like there's comments about that all the time, and I think it's an incredible piece of work, but it's like comments about the dates were wrong or we didn't get it right, or with the Chinese immigrants, like it's just going to be always be like a sensitive topic because that is the world we live in. So I think is we can just do what we can do, which is try and get ahead of it as best as possible and really make sure that like the research done behind it is accurate and reflects it appropriately.
Thank you, Destiny. Cassie.
I don't agree that it's political or that a lot of the art we've done is political. I think of it as human beings rather than politics, but I know there's trigger for people, right? It makes people have feelings that they're uncomfortable with, and that's part of being a human being. So my impulse is like, let's do the due diligence to make sure that we represent those who have not been represented, that we're doing it in the least trauma, the most trauma-informed way that we could possibly be approaching it. And then just like the city council's asking us to do with the Say Their Names, let's have some community healing around it, because this is an opportunity. I definitely, John, have gone into watching your presentations with this lens of like equity, diversity, and inclusion, and a little bit of fear about exactly what Joel pointed out, without using the term political, that we do due diligence and we make sure that those who have not had a voice have a voice in this piece. And I think that there is an opportunity for some real healing. As you mentioned, this is a colonized community. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is built on money from white folks who come here who have a lot of wealth. And so if that marriage can come together in this piece of art, for sure there will be people who have negative things to say, because it will be triggering. And there's also a lot of potential for some healing and some community awareness around that. So I think, you know, making sure that you take the time to really ask the questions and sit with the discomfort of what the response might be. There could be a lot of potential beauty that unfolds there. So.
John.
I just wanted to share with you, I appreciate everything that everyone's saying, and I honor that, and I do want to be involved with the appropriate people and include anything that would be suggested that to not step on certain toes or get it right. And I also wanted to share that project in Hawaii that I showed earlier with Queen Lili Ukalani. So I went over there after winning this competition thing, and I spent about 10 days with a kapuna, and it was kind of brought into the Hawaiian culture, and went to Queen Lili Ukalani's tomb and asked permission with the ceremony. And by the time I actually started, because they worried that this Holly is painting this mural, and by the time I actually started painting, I knew what to say to the locals when it came to this, because I got permission by actually the ceremony with her. And it was great. By the end, they had this big Hawaiian thing, and I felt like I was brought into the fold, and there was the appropriate steps taken, and bringing her out to the forefront, which is kind of a first in Honolulu, was a healing thing. So there is an opportunity. May not get it perfect for everybody, but I think there's more healing possibilities here than not. So I mean, the power of public art is the ability to do some healing. And while I'm not a political type of artist, I see that here and the opportunity for that here.
Excellent. Any other commentary? I wanted to add one footnote, which is that with the mural packet that is required, and Johanna has received that on behalf of the city, is a budget, and the working budget total is $200,000 to complete this. So this will be a heavy lift. We'll be looking for philanthropists and other ways to see John achieve this completed work. I think we're ready for Stanley for your motion. Any other?
Wait, I got a couple more comments, Ken. I'm just going to leave that other thing alone. But I'm curious about, since you're merging kind of Native American culture in the Rogue Valley, I just think it's, and then there's this Shakespeare element, and, you know, having grown up in the Rogue Valley, there's a lot of, I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of fatigue around the Shakespeare Festival for a lot of, I think, maybe young people, I'm not sure, but where everything gets Shakespeare Festival slapped onto it in Ashland. And then I think my other, I know you don't like hearing that, but then the other thing is Mount Shasta is a totally different community. We have Mount Ashland here, and I know the visuals are a little bit harder to merge in there, but I think that conceptually, if your piece is dealing with Ashland, we have Mount Ashland, and that is Shasta, which is a totally different community and different place altogether. So anyway, just a couple other things I wanted to throw at that.
All right. That's good input, John.
Well, I just wanted to address Joel's thing too. That is Mount Ashland to the right. So I just want to make sure you understood that Mount Ashland is the image to the right. And the other thing is that I had to throw in there is that this has absolutely no Shakespeare in it whatsoever. It's the prelude maybe to Shakespeare, but it's not Shakespeare in any direct form. And I'm hearing you, Joel. I want to make sure that that you understand that I was trying to be sensitive to that, that the Shakespeare itself was overdone. And but I'm open to, you know, the possibility of changing some of the subject too, but anyway.
And it's Mount McLaughlin, right? It's not Mount Shasta.
Yeah,
it's Mount McLaughlin on the left and Mount Ashland on the right.
Correct.
All right. Any other comment? I'd like us to move, if we can, to a motion. And Stanley, would you like to make that motion?
Sure. I would like to make a motion that the Arts Commission endorses this project.
And would you like to add to bring into the public art collection when completed?
Yes.
And that it is a gift to the city.
Right. Yes.
I'm on board to look ahead at this as something we approve. And I'm just curious if this is still something that you're in the works of having people look at and give eyes to and give input to. John, are we premature in, I mean, it feels a little like we're having discussions about what's to come. Are we approving this as the final proposal is my question, I guess.
Yeah. I think that this, what we're endorsing here is the general design and general concept. And I think that if we get into the weeds too much about nitpicking every little part of it, we'll never get anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I think this motion is to signal our enthusiasm to the city council for this project that will be a gift to the city of Ashland. And, you know, I think John will be open to any suggestions going forth up to a point. At some point, he's got to put rubber to the road and get this stuff going. But
yeah, I don't feel like I need to give any input to John. I was just hoping that some of the Indigenous community would have a voice before we say, hey, I endorse this. I guess that's my hesitation, just to be really, if I look at it, it's, I want to make sure that there's a eyes on it from the folks that are being represented in it. Johanna, you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about process really quickly. In the mural packet that I sent out to you all, there's, you know, the first preliminary sort of motion to accept it. And there is an optional second pack presentation meeting that you guys can request if you'd like to, where you can request a color elevation drawn and gridded to half inch scale to illustrate how the mural concept will be translated to the site wall, as well as any other additional information you might request. Just saying that that's an option if there's a concern about, you know, what step we're at.
Let me jump in and include the idea that we are endorsing the concept with due diligence on the part of the artist, muralist, nationally known, internationally known muralist, publisher of a book. So I'm being a little silly here, but are we at a place where we could endorse the concept with the provisions that Stanley mentioned?
We don't have a second yet. But
all right. Is there a second to Stanley's generic motion? Not a second.
I'll second.
Okay, there is a second. Any discussion, further discussion?
I actually, it's appropriate to bring up right now to Joel's comment about it's not Mount Shasta, it's Mount McLaughlin. I think that was clarified, but can I read something very quickly? Mount McLaughlin has been known by a number of names. The Takelma people to the west called it Awilamchaldis. I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. An important hero in their traditional stories, the Shasta people to the south knew it as Maya Cax, one of three peaks that rose above an ancient ocean, and the Klamath people to the east named it Kesh Yanatat, the abode of dwarf old woman who made the west wind blow, blah, blah, blah. So I think there's an opportunity there to really honor our indigenous people of the area because of Mount McLaughlin and its importance to those different cultures. So, John, maybe that's something to explore. Okay, that's all I wanted to add.
Thanks. Good.
Joanna, I know it's a little fuzzy. Would you be good enough to read what you have as a motion?
I have just loosely that you move to that the PAC endorses the project and brings it to the public art collection upon completion as a gift to the city.
Yes.
I think the idea also included with appropriate due diligence for the indigenous communities, if that's the right language. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have a motion as, would you like to read it again now that you're adding to it?
Moves that the Public Arts Commission endorses this project to bring to the public art collection upon completion as a gift to the city with the appropriate due diligence to the related indigenous communities.
I wondered, John, do you want to include a title? I think that's helpful rather than just the project. What was
I do like where the crow lights is.
All right, let's put that.
That's the place.
Yeah.
And it does slant toward the earlier history a little bit.
Right. All right. Is that clear to everyone? I think it is. All in favor, please raise your hand. All right. Not in favor. One. All right. I think the motion clearly passes with discussion noting the concerns that Joel has raised. And thank you very much, John. We really appreciate your time here. And Brandon.
I have one thing that's on topic. As it's a mural on a National Register, a building that's on the National Register of Historic Places, the Historic Commission previously looked at this concept early and were quite pleased with it and looking to support it at that time. I think in looking at the policy, we do have an opportunity to present your final iteration of it to the Historic Commission and seek their endorsement for its inclusion as a piece of public art in the National Register District as well. So if you could reach out to me, or I'll reach out to you after this meeting and I can let you know some times, and hopefully that's amenable. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Brandon.
I know we're short on time, but how does it work with that wall? Does the Elks Club then have to donate the entire wall into the city's property? Is that how that works?
They donate an easement for the city to maintain and utilize the wall. The city doesn't take ownership of the physical building, just gets granted rights to maintain the mural.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody. That was excellent discussion, and we'll be happy to see it moving forward. Let's see.
Thank you.
I would like to speak briefly to a project that came up between Scott Fleury, our Director of Public Works, and Beverly Hovenkamp, the Chair of the Historic Commission, and myself. And we were discussing various places for the MAP project, and in that conversation, Scott raised the idea that it would be beneficial, he thought, to the city to have a gateway project, a welcoming to Ashland in the form of a public arts work. And so I would like to entertain a motion that we establish a project entitled Gateway Project and ask for volunteers to work with Scott, perhaps myself and Beverly. Is there a motion to that effect? To establish a gateway project.
Is it related to the MAP project, Ken? Will you talk a little bit more about the gateway project?
It's not, it's independent project. We were there to talk about the MAP project, and I will come to that in a bit. So the idea, at each end of the city, there are the rust-colored signs that say Ashland, but not much else, just a skyline. And the idea would be something that's more welcoming and invites the visitor, the tourist, and the residents to enjoy the benefits of Ashland. And I am not an artist, and we've just begun the conversation, but what we want to do here is establish the idea of a project which can flesh out and then come back.
Cool.
So is there a motion to establish a gateway project?
Okay, I move to establish exploring the idea of a gateway project that would address the would it be both, Ken, both ends of town?
I think that's an open question, whether it's one or whether it's at the outskirts of town. I'm open, and I think the project should be open to whatever that might mean.
Okay, to establish a gateway project and explore the ideas for a more welcoming piece at one or two sites in Ashland.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Stanley, you had your hand up. Was that for a second or discussion?
I was seconding, but somebody beat me to the punch.
All right.
Do you see this as maybe competing with the other projects that we have in the works for the MAP, for the other things that we want to move forward with that are already in the fire?
Just based on the conversations with Scott, I envision this as a standalone project. It is possible it can fold into the MAP project since we want to have the Historic Commission be a part of it. But I think we're just looking at the idea. Brandon?
Well, I would note that both the locations of the current signs entering to the Ashland are outside of the historic districts and typically outside the purview of the Historic Commission.
Right. One of the things we talked about was putting a mural in the Water Street, East Main Street intersection, painting it on or fixing it to the asphalt. That's one idea. Another is to have something on posts that rise above the traffic level and has welcome as a sign. And images of Ashland. So it's pretty wide open at this
point. And that location is within the historic district. I was assuming that you meant out near the railroad trestle at one end of the city and out near the freeway interchange 14 at the other.
Exactly. And when we talked about that, Scott said those two, well, not those two, but the one on Ashland Street is an attraction to cars and has been run into any number of times and they've done all kinds of things. So traffic safety is a main but one of the key considerations. So there's those explorations would take place under such a project, in my view.
Another really cool thing could be a mural underneath where Brandon was talking about on the north end of town, underneath the train tracks where it often gets vandalized.
Yeah,
that could be a very cool spot to have something as you, that you drive under as you come into town. My only hesitation with was making a motion was just the bandwidth of each of us and what the and our capacity in terms of time and all the projects like Laura referenced. So I guess I'm just dropping that in. I have no hesitation about the project except our time and our focus.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting at. Our resources, meaning all of us, and what's already we're committed to following through with.
But exploration is great because we're just looking at it as a possibility.
Ideas, right. Okay.
All right. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. All opposed? I think we have a unanimous. I couldn't see what Destiny did. Oh, great. There you are. So that's unanimous. Thank you so much. I think we'll begin. Is there a volunteer to help with this? Uh-huh. I see a crinkled nose there. I think there's a question there. I will at least talk with Scott and see if I can engage one or more of you. And this is one of those things, I believe, that could be chunked, could be a task, it could be a project with subsets of tasks. So somebody could plug into one piece and then not the next and so forth. I think that's an efficient use of our time. Thank you so much. So let me see where I am on the agenda. We got that. I would like to briefly talk about a meeting that I had with the Historic Commission on the 5th. I attended their meeting and watched their process and was entertained by all of their commentary. Essentially, the chair, myself, presented to the members of the Historic Commission that we proposed PAC and the Historic Commission recruit one or two volunteers to form a subcommittee for considering and moving forward on marking Ashland Places 2 project. First task would be to recommend to each commission the next proposed historic district and historic theme for a work of public art and the potential spokes. The second set of tasks would be and could be a successor committee for an identification of the type of artwork and the spokes concept. That's very much following the pattern that was used with Golden Connections. And let's see, I think that's the gist of it. They, following these two, we would be recording. We would look at funding and all of the necessary steps. So let me stop with that. That was the gist of the presentation. There wasn't a time for much response, but they are considering it. And so is there an individual or individuals who would like to work on the MAP 2 project?
I'll just comment that I was on the subcommittee for the original MAP 1, and it was just an awful lot of work. That said, I think a lot of the heavy lifting's been done.
Right.
If we just continue and sort of follow the template we did on the first one, I don't think it would be quite as much of a time commitment. I'm maxed out. I can't be on this subcommittee, but I would encourage others to. It was kind of fun, actually.
And I do think we have a much more cooperative group of potential folks. Yeah. Beverly and I have been working together pretty effectively and enjoy each other's contributions. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'd ask you to think about this, and I will probably be coming to twist some arms.
I will just say I'm interested in helping to identify the next location and the next project.
Excellent. Thank you, Cassie. And I know Peter Finkel is also willing and has engaged with us. So right there are four of us. And I think then with whoever can come from the Historic Commission, that would be excellent.
Peter was really pivotal in the first project too. So he's a great resource.
Moving on to the next item, it's the public forum consideration with Micah Blacklight's work as the key to that component. And Cassie has agreed to introduce this. We met with Micah, the two of us. Cassie?
Yeah, we met with Micah at Ashland Creek Park, which was really nice. And as you all probably know, the city council in their approval of his process that he's now proceeding forward with fundraising, as part of that was two public forums that they would like the Public Arts Commission to put together. And so we met and we discussed the potential first forum looking like a panel discussion. And Micah being one of the panelists and a couple other people that we had ideas about, possibly Jess Friedman or Vance, who run BASE, since they were sort of shepherding this project along. I know Micah's reached out to Nataki Garrett at the festival to see if she'd be interested in being on the panel. I'm not sure if there's been progress. And then it's Scott, what's his last name, Ken?
No, Scott Melbourne, who is the director of the Snyder Museum of Art.
Who has agreed to, as long as the date works for him.
Yes.
So we've approached the library to ask about using a conference room there, since it's spacious, but not so spacious that people would get lost if we didn't have a huge group. And then we've sort of discussed the possibility of a panel discussion, Micah giving a presentation of his art, trying to create a little bit of community so that we create a psychologically safe space for people to have discussion around something that's obviously been quite an emotional response from some people in the community regarding this particular piece of art. And then a panel discussion, kind of a Q&A with community members about, you know, maybe the need, the why this piece of art, what it means to them. And then an invitation for the folks to stay in the room who are not BIPOC, who would like to discuss the other emotions that have come up for them, with the, an invitation for the people to leave who don't want to be there for that conversation. Specifically, like the Black folks in the room who are there, who might not really want to be there or feel comfortable being there to hear about, you know, the fragility that's come up for some folks, and offering a space for white people to kind of unpack that, those feelings. So we're looking at this as another opportunity for healing and growth and open dialogue, and also education specifically about the art piece. Did I cover it, Ken?
Yeah, sorry. I just would go back to the touchstone, which is the recommendation or the motion to approve the art provisionally. And there were two provisions. One is that we hold two public forums, we, the Public Art Commission, and secondly, that they review the site in Ashland Creek Park. And as a footnote, the three of us did look at the site that was originally proposed in the oval in front of the community gardens, and the clear view emerged that it not be there, that it move over, if you're facing the park, to the left, for a variety of reasons. One is it would be right in front of the restrooms and the community gardens, and sometimes that's not ideal backset background. And there's a big fig tree there that's very dense, so moving it over. So that's going to take place. Micah's pursuing that. With regard to what Cassie said, the idea of the public, of the city council, was for education, information, and healing. So that's the intent of the first forum. Our thinking is that the first one would set up a second one. It could involve other ideas from you folks, but one of those would be that we asked, we offer them the opportunity, obviously, in a Q&A with a panel to ask their questions and make their observations. But we ask a couple of questions to be filled out at the tail end that they have, which would inform the second forum. So what topics are of concern to them, and thereby drawing out more and giving an opportunity. So that's pretty much, I think, a broad brush of where we stand with that. The date that we have targeted is February 12th.
Oh, February?
Did it? No, I'm sorry. January 12th. Yes. I don't know if that's a Thursday evening. And it largely depends on Nataki. If it's not going to be her, we might reach out to other folks. But that, it works for the library, it works for Scott, and I think it works for us. So put that on your agenda if you're going to be here. Johanna, you're nodding. Do you have other to add? And Brandon, I saw you making notes as well.
I had nothing to add. I was just listening.
All right.
Super. And I was just making a note of the date. So thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Any other commentary from the commission at this point? It's early on and we're evolving the ideas, obviously. Micah did say he wanted to be the MC, which is perfectly fine. You all experienced the force of his personality, and that would be great. I haven't said to him specifically, but I'm going to say that I need to be the one to introduce him, and that it's the Public Art Commission's task. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'd like to move on, unless there are further comments. I have one other item.
And I just have a question if anybody else is inclined to. I want to just invite anybody that wants to be part of the process of organizing the forums so that it doesn't seem like Ken and I have just sort of taken it over without inviting others to join. So if anybody else is interested, we'd welcome and appreciate more perspectives.
Absolutely. And ongoing, each time we will be touching base as we have information. All right. The last item I'd like to bring, and I can't remember if this made the agenda or not, but the idea has been proposed that we create a rack card for the public art collection. And the idea being that we do a 5x9 or so rack card that could be displayed and given out at galleries, at the chamber, and other places. And originally the idea was to create a map of public art and commentary on each of the pieces. A rec card is much more economical, for one, and it would refer people to the public art collection site. So it's really, here's our publicity, but it's in the form of a fairly simple thing. I'd like to propose that we do create a rec card. And Stanley, go ahead.
I think one exists, if I remember correctly. Does anybody have a memory?
There's a trifold at the Chamber of Commerce that's older, I think. It won't have any of our new...
Yeah, it's outdated, but yeah, so...
Yeah.
I have talked with Bruce Bayard, who's willing to do this at a maximum cost of about $300. He would volunteer any more than that. And he estimates that the printing shipping could be for less than $200. So I would entertain the idea of the Public Art Commission. What's the word? I'm missing a word here. Create a rack card in a sole source to Bruce Bayard for a PDF, which would then be made into printing rack cards. Did I say the cost? At a cost not to exceed $500. Is there a second to that?
I second.
Great. And I see nodding. Any discussion on that? Johanna, would you read that?
I don't think I caught it in its entirety.
Okay. What did you get?
Create a rack card, cost not to exceed $500.
All right. It's a 5x9, which is implied with rack card, for the public art collection. And a sole source design to Bruce Bayard. There are probably other people, but we've worked with Bruce and we have an existing relationship. And I think for this price, it's not a...
Do you know the quantity that you're going to be printing?
Oh, 1,000. Sorry, I should have said that. 1,000 should do us for some period of time.
I'll just say that my company could contribute the printing if the Arts Commission just covers costs of paper.
All right. So the motion is further amended that, let's see, what's the name of this company? The Art Authority.
Art Authority, yeah.
We'll do the printing for the cost of the paper. Excellent. Thank you so much, Stanley. That's wonderful. And so we have two established individuals. All in favor, please raise your hand. Okay. And Joel had to go. So the motion passes. And I thank you all for what has turned out to be a very productive Public Arts Commission meeting. And we have a lot of balls in the air. Yes, Stanley.
Are we ever going to be able to meet in person again? I mean, what's going on with that?
I would defer to Brandon and Johanna. My understanding is that, hello, back, Joel. The question is, can we meet in person? And I know that there are some complications with that for those of you who work. My understanding is that if the commission says in its wisdom that we could have a hybrid meeting in person and joined electronically by others, we could return to that. So we, in order to do that and accommodate folks, we would need to make such a motion. Brandon,
you have so essentially, you know, we can accommodate the commission should you choose to meet in person. If you choose to meet hybrid, where participants need not be present physically as part of the meeting, but can Zoom in. I know with other commissions, the general rules and requirements stipulate that they do not allow electronic participation in order to encourage the members to be present and on those meeting dates. But if the commission itself makes a motion to amend those rules to allow for electronic participation, and under what parameters, you know, I know that in many cases, if somebody's ill, having them come to a meeting physically and infect everybody is a bad idea. So that would be a good reason to Zoom in. If the commission wanted to establish a requisite requirement for attendance in person, unless certain criteria are met, you could do so.
Yeah, I'll just say that it's better to meet in person. It just is.
Yes, I think we all agree with that. It does have some complications. I would note that the Historic Commission meets in person, but made this exact provision for attendance by one of their longstanding members. I'd like to ask you to think about this, unless there's immediate consensus. I'd like to just defer this to November, where we would create the criteria that Brandon just mentioned. Yeah, Destiny.
Yeah, I just, and not like to make this a whole discussion point, but some of us like are currently working in these hours from home and are taking time out of that to participate. So like actually then having to go in office may be a little bit more challenging for those of us that do have full-time jobs. Right.
And I know that's, And I know that's also a problem or consideration for Joel. So I think that's therein is the reason for us to do a little study on this. And I would look to do that study with Johanna and Brandon. Brandon, I have one other topic that I think we discussed and I forgot to mention early on. From time to time, the Public Art Commission makes recommendations regarding use of the funds in the public art account. We don't have visibility on the balance as we discussed, and we need some frame of reference over time or in a timely way. And I wonder if you could speak to that and if there's a way to do that.
I can provide at this point, I reached out to the finance department in terms of the restricted transient and occupancy tax balance that has been used for public arts. And I don't have it up on my screen currently, but there is essentially a $57,000 balance in that account. It does come with the caveat that these funds are restricted to tourism related activities. And as such, the public art installation have often been seen as a value for use of those funds and meeting a tourism objective, but they are awarded by the city council and it is not specifically a public art fund. My understanding is a separate public art fund would come with auditing requirements. It would likely consume that balance in short order, but in this way, it's rolled into the the general fund. I also looked at past allocations from the city council for that public art reservation, for lack of a better term. And it's been really fluctuating between $20,000 and $35,000 annually that goes into the account. I know it built up for a number of years, which is why some larger acquisitions were able to be made, such as Velocity is one example. So I don't know if that answers your question in terms of some dollar numbers. And, you know, so the commission could make a recommendation to the city council for an expenditure of those funds or future allocations as they are allocated through the annual budget process.
That's really helpful, Brandon, and I very much appreciate that. I think if with your participation, we'd like to have some regular, let's put it that way, updating on how much money is in there. I believe that our charter entitles the use of those funds toward things like the forum that the council provided, that's educational and in public arts. So maybe there's a little fuzzy edges, but we could do that on a case-by-case basis.
And I'll have to look into that because, again, I know that these funds, in large part, there's a separation of funds that are allocated to the commission. You know, for instance, the Historic Commission gets $250 a year that is used for educational outreach events. The tourism-related funding has to be things that promote tourism.
Right.
But we'll take a look at that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's really helpful. And I know we sort of pushed that into the end of the discussion. Cassie?
Before we go, it looks like on our agenda, it says our next meeting is December. That's number one. Number two is we didn't get an update about the utility box application through ODOT. And I'm just hoping that that's continuing through the process. I'm just assuming no news means it is. And the third thing that I was wondering is that we had asked Steph to bring to the city council the idea that they might also add that sentence addition to their land acknowledgement. And those are just things that have been in the back of my mind that we haven't circled back to that we can put off until next meeting. But I just wanted to make sure that I dropped them in the bucket.
Thank you very much. I think the meeting next is November 18th.
Okay.
22.
Okay.
And, sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine. I just thought, oh, maybe it's because it's Thanksgiving week or I didn't know.
Right. Yeah. Would you bring the dressing and Stanley, you bring the turkey and yeah. Anything else to come before us today? Good meeting, everybody. I really appreciate your participation and the collegiality we have. And I think we do have a number of balls in the air, but we can accomplish some great things. If John's work comes to fruition and if Micah's work comes to fruition, that would be really wonderful. With that, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn.
I moved.
Second.
Nobody wants to make a motion. We just love each other. all in favor of adjourning. Thank you. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.